A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is our Fitwell segment here on Money FM 89.3. We have three crazy fit people here in the studio, obsessed with fitness, just like me. First up, we have Ben Pullum, founder at Coached and ex-New Zealand professional triathlete. We have Natalie Dow, CEO at Rockstar Fit and Sport SG Ambassador. And we have my colleague, Jamie Meldrum, senior program director at KISS FM and 1FM SPH Radio and an Ironman triathlete. Guys, welcome to the show.
G'day.
Hey, Jason.
Welcome back. You've all been on my show before, and we've got Ben here as the coach. We've got Natalie, who is training for an ultra marathon, 100-kilometer run in October. And we have Jamie, who's going for his second Ironman race in December in Western Australia. Going to have to try and talk them out of it. It's crazy.
Crazy to me, man.
So you're going to give some input about their training methods. Let's start with Natalie, because, of course, you worked with her before. And she's a super fit person, but this is something going to a new level. So, Nat, just tell us where you are in your training. I know you're about to do the Gold Coast Marathon, and October is a few months away. How's it going?
Yeah, so I did my first marathon last weekend. I did Sundown, actually.
How'd that go?
Yeah, it was good, but, you know, staying up until midnight was a struggle. I'm in bed at 10, yeah. So that was, I think I started seeing things about 3 a.m. But it was good. You know, I finished in a decent time. I didn't look at my watch the whole time, but the struggle was getting up, and part of my program that Ben had set was to get up and run again the next day. So
wow, so just tell us a bit of background, because I've never run the Sundown, or I never run a marathon or half marathon in the middle of the night. How's it different to running, you know, a regular race in the day?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever setting any records. You know, your body's wondering what the heck's going on, and you're up for 24 hours, basically. So, yeah, about 3 a.m., I think I was feeling like I was ready to throw up and couldn't have any more gels or anything. But, you know, it was interesting. I think the recovery was the hard part, just because of lack of sleep. Mm. You know, you felt jet-lagged the whole time.
So, Ben, how's she doing? Nat's, you're keeping an eye on her with your coach and you're helping her out. What would you say about where she's at?
Well, she's a fit woman, right? Like, there's not a whole lot I need to do. She's very, very driven. All I've done is put a little bit of structure around what she's doing, because she's got a good background in running, but she also does a lot of the high-intensity stuff. And it's really just about finding that balance between the high-intensity stuff that she likes to do and doing enough low-intensity stuff to build the strength, improve her fat burning, so that when she goes and run 100K, she has the muscular strength, the aerobic conditioning, and the ability to fuel it.
All right. What about you, Jamie? You have a second Ironman on the horizon in December in your native Australia.
Yes.
You know, you've got Bintan coming up, right?
Yeah. I struggled a bit through the first half of this year after doing the first Ironman, because doing it the very first time, the mental aspect of it is just incredible. And when you come off the back of it, it's like, yeah, I don't really know how hard I want to train right now. My training's been a bit spotty the first part of the year, but then I went and did the half Ironman, the Asia Pacific Championships in Vietnam a few weeks back, and that just literally beat it out of me.
It was hot, wasn't
because,
it?
Because it was 40 degrees on the run, and it was hell on earth, and it hurt a lot. The run really hurt. I was really badly out of shape, and since then I have not missed a workout. So, you know.
Right, so it was a bit of a wake-up call for
absolutely.
You.
And that was the whole point. I mean, previously all of my races, I've actually done them mostly in Australia or in cooler places where it's a wetsuit swim, the temperature on the run is somewhere in the 20s, and it's, you know, it's comfortable, but I wanted to do two really hot races ahead of this year's full Ironman to really, you know, motivate myself to get into good shape. And I tell you what, Vietnam sure did, and Bintan's going to be the same, because the bike course is all rolling hills. Mm. And, you know, I've lost 110 kilos, but I still have about 40 to go. Right. And anyone who knows anything about cycling knows that every extra pound you carry on the bike makes climbing a real chore. And on the run, every extra pound is like, Nat and I were talking before, it's like carrying a bag of potatoes on the run, but I'm carrying 40 bags of potatoes. So Ben,
what would you say, you know, I mean, it's an incredible story. Jamie's told us the story before, and, you know, how he lost all that weight, and he completed that Ironman, you know, last year. He shared that story with me before. But what would you say about where he's at in his training, knowing that, you know, he's just shared that story about where he can go from here towards December?
Well, it sounds like he's doing all the right things. Jamie's coached by a very experienced and qualified coach in Colin O'Shea, and so he's getting very good advice and doing the right things. So I think your experience in Vietnam and what you'll have again in Bintan speaks to the importance of these secondary races as well, because you know, a lot of people think that they just want to do their key race. But if you're not experienced and if you don't practice the skill of racing, often you'll make a lot of really unnecessary mistakes. And so by going into these other races that are challenging in a different way and where the result doesn't overly matter from a time point of view, you can sort of tick the different boxes in regards to your preparation and then, you know, testing your fueling strategy, testing your pacing, testing any equipment you want to use. And I think that really helps a lot. So, well,
and one of the things I found too, especially because with triathlon, you're swimming with other people. It's not like swimming in a pool.
No, very different.
The first couple of years, I actually did a lot of shorter races. I did a lot of sprints, a lot of Olympics, as well as half Ironmans and stuff. And so in total, I'd say I've probably done close to 20 races now. And it was only in Vietnam on the swim that I actually felt completely comfortable swimming with other people. I knew people were going to cut in front of me. I knew people were going to grab my legs. I knew I was going to get whacked at some point. And it didn't stress me out. And a big part of the swim in Ironman, because it is a long swim, is staying relaxed. You know, you've got to control your breathing. You've got to just stay in the zone and focus on your stroke. And you can't do that if you're freaking out about every little touch on your toes.
It comes down to familiarity, right? Things that are familiar to you are not scary.
Yes.
And there's nothing familiar about jumping in the ocean with like 1,000 other people
and
around
swimming
you swimming
and
smacking the hell out of you at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're right. And that's how you get familiar, right? You put yourself in these uncomfortable situations in these less important, smaller races. And over time, it just becomes a thing that you do.
Yeah.
Right? And it sounds like that's what's happening, which is good.
We're getting there.
We're talking endurance training, endurance races with Ben Pullum, founder at Coached, an ex-New Zealand professional triathlete. Jamie Meldrum, who is a senior program director at Kiss FM, 1FM, and also an Ironman triathlete. And Natalie Dow, the CEO of Rockstar Fit. Sport SG ambassador, who is training for that ultra marathon, 100 kilometres in October. Now, you've got another marathon coming up in your homeland of Australia. So what are you kind of targeting that for as far as comparing to the Sundowner?
I think exactly what Ben was just saying, it's another practice race, really. Mm. So, you know, running that and then getting up again the next day and backing it up. So I'm mimicking what the ultra will feel like a bit more. So just training my body to be able to do more than 42Ks, I guess. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, but to be clear, right, you're doing a half in Gold Coast as well,
no,
right?
No, full.
Are you doing
again.
The full? You signed up for the full? All right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're backing up.
So, because, you know, the amazing thing is you had never done a full before this.
Last week.
Yeah, that was it. That you'd done your first full marathon. And it's incredible that, you know, she's going from, I mean, like me, I've never done a full. I've only done halves. Going from just doing halves to going to 100 kilometres, you know, Ben. So how's she able to do it? The fact that she's in great shape and that goes without saying, but that's a big jump.
Well, it's all to do with progression, mate. Like, you don't just go from 0 to 100, right? You have to take these small little milestones along the way, gradually build up your fitness, gradually build up your resilience mentally as well, because there's only so fit you can get. Like, Natalie is very, very fit.
Mm.
And we can sort of optimize the type of fitness she has to try and improve her outcome in that 100K. But at a certain point, like, fitness will take you so far, and then it very much becomes about the mind. Because regardless of whether you're doing it for the first time or whether you're the best in the sport, somewhere through that 100K, it's going to get hard and you're going to be questioning why you're out there doing it. And I think training is as much about getting physically fit as it is about getting mentally fit. And so the way we structure our programs is, for the most part, Nat is on a marathon training program. She's got a kid and a job and lots of other things going on. And just doing more and more volume to try and build that additional fitness is not in her best interest. And so we got to make sure that we give her enough volume, but not at the expense of some intensity too, to keep the leg speed there and to actually keep her running quality good. But so what we do is we have her on a marathon program, but at different times, and for Nat it's two, around sundown in the Gold Coast, we do what I call a big weekend, where you do a lot more volume in a very short amount of time to sort of place your body under that harder stress, but also your mind, because it's a very hard thing to run a marathon and then get up again the next day and go out and run.
And that, your mental state, what's that been like, you know, doing the Sundowner, you know, and being in that longer, you know, 4 hour plus kind of zone compared to a 2 hour plus zone with half?
Yeah, so I was never a music listener when I ran, but now I've listened to nearly every single audiobook and podcast out there while I've been running. And I, you know,
does it help?
It does, because it sort of just steadies my heart rate and my pace, I think. During sundown, I was waiting to sort of hit a low, and it didn't happen. Or if it did, I was able to pull myself out pretty fast. So I think I got to about kilometre 25 and decided to stick my headphones in for 10Ks and listen to an audio book that I had because it was just dark and boring.
And what was the book, Ian?
Yeah, Shoe Dog, actually. Yeah, because okay. I think I've Good listened book. To every ultra marathon runner and right. Rich Roll podcast and David Goggins' book. So I think I'd been training myself to think when you hit that low, you need to remember why you're there and pull yourself out of it immediately. So definitely mental training.
Well, Jamie Meldrum's a music guy. You know, he works here at SBH Radio. He knows all about music. He can tell me everything I want to know about musical artists. Does that work for you, audio?
No, it doesn't. And I don't use it for two reasons. One, you can't take your Walkman with you in a triathlon.
Correct, yeah.
You're not allowed to have cameras. You're not allowed to have this, nothing. It's just
But you can train with one, can't you?
You can, but I prefer to try to focus on training mentally at the same time. So I'm working out my, you know, my systems and, you know, my long training runs are really hurting. Like it's going to hurt in the race. Then I want to be prepared for it and not going, I wish I had my Walkman. You know, if I was just purely running, then, you know, I probably would actually. And I've thought of, you know, taking some music a few times. Cycling is very different because, you know, you're strapped into the bike. So your technique and your form is sort of dictated by the way that you're set up on the bike. But swimming and running, there's a lot of technique involved. And so I try to just focus on, like, in the pool, it's focus on every stroke, and on the run, focus on every step, and just, you know, it's just try and stay in the moment and stay present.
There's pros and cons to it, though, eh? You can use music to, depending on what you're trying to achieve and the tempo of the music, to actually pull your cadence up and improve your form.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you know Bevan from Physio. The physio guy, he suggested I try to get my cadence up around 180 on the run, and so
metronome,
and put it on the treadmill. But like 180, man, that's like if you think dance music's fast, like it's
pretty quick.
It's pretty quick. So yeah,
but it's interesting, isn't it? That you know, I'm not training for any race. I'm very behind the times. I've discovered Spotify, and I'm very behind the times. But I'm using it now on my runs and. It's amazing how you can just – as you say, Nat, it just changes the way that you run. And in a way, you're not thinking so much about, I guess, the pain of it or whatever else. You just – it just seems to give you a rhythm, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I ran this morning. I ran an hour and a half this morning. I didn't listen to music. It's when I'm doing my – 3-hour runs or something that I need the book, and you know, and then I don't care if people are passing me because I'm sticking to my pace and my heart rate. And
yeah, that, I think it helps, doesn't it? It helps you, wouldn't you say, Ben, to maybe stick to a kind of a program when?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in sort of mixing things up. I never, you know, and I'm not a good example of this because I tend to be an all or nothing kind of guy. But for the most part, like mixing things up is a good thing. Doing some of your running on concrete and on the trails is good because it just helps to take the load off the legs a little bit. Likewise, running with music sometimes can be really beneficial, and running without it at times can be really beneficial. So
don't swim with it though.
Headphones and things for the water, but
well, I am behind the times.
I've never actually done that personally.
Yeah, I see a few guys down there. Like every time I go for a swim, I see it. Yeah,
I like listening to the splash of the water. It's soothing almost.
Okay, well, for the moment, thank you very much to Ben Pullum, founder at Coach, an ex New Zealand professional triathlete, Natalie Dow, and Jamie Meldrum. We'll have more from them a bit later on right here on Money FM.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.